had what I thought I was going to preach tonight. And I always go home on Sunday afternoon and kind of just look over notes. By that time, usually I have what I'm going to preach in the evening service. So I was looking over notes, and about an hour before I left, the Lord puts this on my heart. So we'll see what happens. And it's not what I'd planned on preaching, but I feel like the Lord put me in this direction. So we'll see what He's got to say. Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Until this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Notice what the Lord put on Gideon's heart to call this. The place was called Jehovah Shalom. I looked this the other day about who is God, and dealt with the fact that He is the God of our power. He's the one that gives us the power to do what we need to do in this world, to survive, to serve Him, to exist. But in this verse, we find that God is also called Jehovah Shalom. It has the idea of peace. That word shalom means peace. He is a God of peace. Now, He has peace, and He wants us to have peace. Jesus said, "My peace give I unto thee. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." No doubt about it, the Lord was not troubled as far as worried when He walked this earth. Now, we know He isn't in the heaven. I believe He's burdened. I believe it breaks His heart to see sin. I don't doubt that. But He is not worried. He is not fretting. I promise you, He doesn't have fingernails, but if He did, He would not be biting them. And not only is He not troubled or worried in heaven when He walked this earth in a human body, He also was not worried. He said, "My peace, the kind that I've had, the kind that I have, I want you to have." And Jehovah Shalom reminds us of the God who is our peace. He wants us to experience peace no matter what the circumstance. Do you hear me? In this day, in this country, in this world, in your life, in your battles, in your existence, with what you're going through right now. Now, peace is not the absence of war. Anybody can be at ease when everything's going good. When everything's running smooth, anybody can be at peace and happy and not worry so much. But peace, instead of the absence of war, is an inner contentment, a serenity. That word even sounds good. Serenity, a peace. And that's one reason the absence of peace is the reason for war in this world. Whether you look at something like World War II, where so many are involved and so many are fighting and killing, or you look at the back alley where there's a stabbing, or if you look at the school ground where 2 6-year-olds are fighting, the reason for an absence of peace is because there's no peace in the heart. You cannot have peace in the world if you don't have peace in your heart. And the only way to have peace in our heart is to have the God of peace in our heart controlling us. He is the God of our peace. He wants us to have peace in times of danger. Look in verse 1 of chapter 6. Notice what's going on with Gideon here. It's who we're talking about. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midian 7 years. The children of God did evil, and God turned them over to their enemy for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed. Not only did God turn them over, but he's letting them win. Prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come to Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Did you hear what's going on? Here's the Midianites, the enemy. Here's these worldly, ungodly people who God usually would protect his people from. But because his people are not walking with him, he is letting the enemy overcome them. And the people of Israel are so frightened, they're hiding and living in the dens and the caves and the cliffs, and they're still planting their guards and trying to survive somehow. And the enemy comes in every year and takes the crops and the livestock and goes away. I'm telling you, these people are in a desperate situation. It is a time of danger. For 7 years, they stole the harvest. For 7 years, they're overcoming. They're in a dangerous situation. I tell you, it was a scary time for Israel. Surely God would not want them to have peace now. Surely God will understand that they're troubled and frightened because it's dangerous. Oh, no, not God. He wants them to have peace, and us also. I tell you, it's a scary world. It is a frightening time. If you don't have your head stuck in the sand, you'll have to say this is different than ever before. It is a scary time for our country. It's a scary time for our world. And I have no prediction. I have no idea which way we're going. But I do know this. God does. And he's a God who says, I want you to have peace even in dangerous times. In times of danger, I want you to have peace. By the way, we can have peace in times of danger. We're going to find out that Gideon and the people of Israel had no reason to fear whatsoever. They had no reason to doubt or to worry because God was being God. He does that quite well. He wants us to have peace in times of danger. He wants us to have peace in times of disobedience. I read the verses, the people of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you may say, what are you talking about, preacher? Having peace when we're disobedient? Yep, in this way. Because if we're disobedient, God is going to deal with us. He did with Israel here, and they suffer for their disobedience, and he will do the same with us. If we're saved, God will chasten us if we're disobedient. And what we need to understand that in that chastening, there's a God of love. And in that hurting and in that taking away of our blessing, there's a God of love. I say even in disobedience, we can have the peace of knowing, my God loves me so much, he's not letting me go. He's showing me his love every day by hurting me, by chastening me, by taking my blessings away, by taking my joy away. I say this evening, even in disobedience, we can have the peace of knowing God still loves me. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't get right. You know that, I hope. In times of disobedience, verse 13 says, and Gideon said unto him, the angel of the Lord come, in other words, the Lord came. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of saying? Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I want to pray that prayer sometimes myself. Gideon said, Lord, if you're still with us, why are we going through what we're going through? I hear about a God who brought Israel out of Egypt. I hear about a God who brought his people across the Red Sea. I hear about a God who brought his people through the wilderness. Where is that God, says Gideon? If he's God and you're God and you're still God, where are you at? Gideon's, could I say like this, troubled. He's worried. He's afraid. In verse 13, in essence, he says, God, don't you even care anymore? Don't you even care at all? You see, under the chastening hand of God, there is such hardship that Gideon is believing that God is going to forsake them, but he isn't. And I'm saying this, we can have peace even when we're being chastened, knowing God is doing right and he's trying to help me to get right. I say this evening, he's a God of our peace. He wants us to have peace in times of danger, and he wants us to have peace in times of disobedience. He's showing his love for us, and he's showing his hatred for sin when he chases his people. He's trying to show us that sin will destroy you, that sin grieves my heart, that sin will rob you of your joy. He's trying to help us even in our disobedience. That's why the Hebrew writer said, don't despise. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. It literally means don't take it lightly. Don't take it flippantly. Realize God loves me, and that's why he's whipping me. A good trip to the woodshed with God helps us if we'll let him. I'm talking tonight about who is God. He's God. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. He wants us to have peace in times of danger. He wants us to have peace in times of disobedience. He wants us to have peace, listen to this, in times of depression. Look at verse 6 again. And Israel was greatly impoverished. Impoverished means to bring low. To bring low. In other words, you are not where you should be. You have been emptied out. The boldness, the courage, the excitement, the desire, the interest has drained away. They were impoverished. In verse 7, notice, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. At least they did do one thing right. They cried to the Lord. I tell you, when you're down, cry to the Lord. Some have great struggles with depression. Some have minor struggles. Some have blue Mondays, and that's about it. But every one of us are susceptible to getting down, of being whooped, of being distressed, of beginning to wonder, beginning to doubt, being fearful, worrying. And God wants us to have peace in those times when we could be depressed, when the devil whispers lies in our ears. When depression or disheartenment or discouragement comes, he wants to give us peace. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to give it all to him and trust him. No matter how we feel, no matter what thoughts were running through our mind. See, there's the battlefield again, the mind. What we think and how we think, it makes so much difference. And depression and discouragement and despair is a part of our mind trip and our mind battle. And he wants us to have peace in the time of depression or despair or discouragement. Now, our thoughts for the Lord, and as they did here, they ran to God and started praying and crying out to him. Sometimes that erases the depression and takes care of the discouragement, and it just disappears like the morning dew. Or it may just barely get you through the day. But I'll tell you what, it'll get you through the day. And our minds need to be focused on the facts. My God still loves me. God is still God. He knows what's going on. He told me the truth. He has power. He's in charge. He's in control. The devil's a liar. My flesh is wrong. I can trust God. No matter how we feel, no matter what we're thinking in our mind, humanly speaking, the facts never change that God is God, and he wants to give us peace. in times of depression, in times of despair, in times of discouragement. He wants to give us peace. He wants us to have peace in times of danger, in times of disobedience, in times of depression. He wants us to have peace in time of doubt. And we move on to Gideon, look in verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Boy, it tells us a lot about the situation of that day and the situation of Gideon. The angel of the Lord himself came and found Gideon hiding down in the valley where the wine press was, and he was trying to winnow grain. Well, anybody knows you don't winnow grain down in the valley where there's no breeze. You go up to the mountaintop or to the hilltop where there's a breeze, or you throw that grain up, it'll blow the chaff away. Down there in the valley, all you do is throw it up, it falls down. Throw it up, it falls down. But he was afraid to get up there where the Midianites might see him, so he's hiding. Isn't that what he said? Hiding from the Midianites. I'm telling you, here's a man doubting. Here's a man afraid. And in our day, with your circumstances and our world situation, it's easy to doubt. It's easy to be afraid. It's easy to be scared. But God doesn't want us to be afraid. By the way, could I just say this? Gideon was a man of God. I mean, he was a man of God, and he was afraid. So if he was afraid, and he was worried, and he was troubled, and he was doubting, so can you and I. But just like he had no excuse to doubt, neither do we. Because God is still God. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord said, I'm still with you. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. Hey, Gideon, God ain't forgot you. Now that right there ought to give some peace. God being with him didn't just mean, well, God's over to the side sitting around and has no power, no ability, no influence on the situation. God with him meant God is with you, involved with it. And notice what he called Gideon. Thou mighty man of valor. I almost want to chuckle. Gideon's hiding down in the valley because he's afraid, and God comes and calls him the mighty man of valor. Well, he knew what Gideon was really inside, and he knew what Gideon was going to be soon, so he called him by the name that really did fit him, a mighty man of valor, because he saw, listen, he saw the way it really was and what he was about to do. Now, I got a question. If God saw what he was going to do with Gideon, and God, if you could say this, had peace about it, couldn't Gideon also have peace about it? Sure he could. Got a question. If God knows what's going on with us, and he is with us, involved with our situation, in control, not somewhere losing, not in touch or not informed, but he's very much involved, and he is having peace. Can't we have peace? Yes, we can. I'm talking about peace in times of doubt. Gideon is scared. He's past doubt. He's scared. Look in verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Oh my. And he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. God told Gideon, I don't want to just tell you that everything's going to be all right. I want to tell you I'm going to use you to make sure everything's all right. I want you to go, and I'm going to use you to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And Gideon said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen, my family ain't nothing, and I'm the least of my family. Who in the world am I to go? How can I do it? He's still doubting. He's still doubting now about can he do it? He's still doubting now about will God use me? One of the most troubling things can be sometimes about God using us. And many times that's why we don't witness, because we don't think God's going to use us. Or you're not willing to sing, or you're not willing to teach, or you're not willing to do right or give, or you're not willing to trust God. And because you fear and what might happen, you don't trust God and obey Him and let Him use you and bless you. And it grieves Him and hinders the work of God. Gideon heard God say, I'm going to do it. There's a job to do, and guess what? I'm going to send you to do it through you. God knows what He's doing, and He knows who He's calling, and He does with you and I. Our country, I've said it often, I've said it already in this message, is in a mess. I have been asking God for mercy. I did through several presidents. I am learning. I wish I could say I have learned. I think maybe I have. I have learned without any shadow of a doubt. Our hope is not in a president. I already knew that, but I know that now for sure. But it does make a difference who's at the White House, humanly speaking. And what they do and don't do makes a difference in where this country goes or the direction it goes and whether God blesses it or not. So I am concerned about our nation. But God is able to take care of us. And He is doing something. I do not know what. I could not explain it. I maybe have some ideas, but I do know this. God is still God. And He can work when we don't think nothing's happening. Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Good gracious. He says again, I'm going to be with you. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. There's different opinions about whether Gideon should have given a fleece or laid out a fleece. I'm not going to touch on that now. All I want to do is say this. God said, I am going to send you and you will deliver Israel from the Midianites. Because I am sending you and I'm going to empower you. I'm talking about a man who is in doubt, afraid. And God is saying, you have no reason to doubt. And neither do I. I will say this. The word of God, which God just clearly said to Gideon, must have not been enough to him. And God in mercy did take care of the fleece and show Gideon his will. Whether that was the way God wanted to do it or not, I'll leave that alone. But I know this, just God's word should have been enough for Gideon. What this word, what this Bible says, sometimes had to be enough. It's the only thing we have. By the way, it's the only thing we need. Again, faith is not seeing. Faith is believing. Believing what? The word of God. Faith is not feeling. Faith is believing what? The word of God. What God said. And God said to Gideon, I am going to send you and you're going to deliver Israel out of the Midianites. In other words, boy, you can have peace. In fact, that's what he says in verse 23. Look at what he says. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Now I'm jumping around here because I want to get my point across. He says to Gideon, will you quit worrying, boy? I want you to have peace. I am going to take care of you. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. And God can give us that kind of peace. Look in verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah and of the Abizarites. My text verse. Gideon built an altar. He wanted a place where he could get a hold of God. He wanted a place where he could go and find help because he knew probably I'm going to need help again. I'm going to have to go back to my helper. I'm going to have to ask for help again. By the way, we can get victory and think everything's all right. And in 2 or 3 hours or 2 or 3 minutes, we can be back in the pit of despair again. So we need a place where we can get a hold of God. I say this evening, doubt grieves God. Because in essence, it's us saying, I don't trust you. I can't trust you. And does not the Bible say without faith it's impossible to please him? We need faith, which is the opposite of doubt. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Oh my. If we don't believe God, it's us saying, you didn't tell me the truth. Doubt is not something that we can take lightly. It's not something God takes lightly. He does understand. I'll touch on that in just a second. And he is merciful. Thank the Lord he was to Gideon, and he will be to us. But there comes a time when he says, you just will trust me. It is time to trust me. It's time you better learn you got to trust me, or you ain't going to make it through, and you surely won't have peace in the midst of your trial. Psalm 103, verse 10. He have not dealt with us after our sins. Well, now, what in the world does that verse got to do with what I'm saying? This. Doubt is sin. And he doesn't deal with us according to our sin. He's tender and he's caring and he's patient. Doesn't mean he ignores sin. No, no, no. But it means he tenderly deals with us. Lovingly takes care of his children, even when they're doubting him. He is speaking here to Gideon, to a man who had not yet arrived. And while he's hiding in the valley, God comes and tells him it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I think he says the same thing to us tonight. You see, God's still working on us. He's still working on Gideon. I'm so glad. He didn't come and say, Gideon, you dummy, what are you doing down here? I am going somewhere and finding somebody else. After all I've done, after you, what you've seen, how I've used you before, and now you're doubting me, I have had it with you. Goodbye. But he doesn't. He keeps working on a man who needs help. And you know what? That's where I'm at. We have not yet arrived. That's why the Bible says that we are his workmanship. He's working on us. He's trying to help us. He's trying to mature us. He's trying to develop us. He's trying to teach us. And as long as we submit to that work, he will accomplish it. Our point, our side, our obligation is submitting, trusting, submitting, obeying. Trusting, which means not doubting, not despair. It means we trust him and obey him. I say this, I'm getting close to being done. God does not want us to worry. He does not want us to be afraid. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It has been big on my heart the last few days and maybe weeks that we are a part of what God's doing. He is working in this world. He's working in this country. He's working in your life. He's working in his churches. He's working in his family. He's working on his bride. He is doing a work. And all we got to do is just hook up with him. And whatever he's doing for this day, submit to that. If it's not happening like I expect, big deal. If it's just his will for today, and my life and yours, if we submit to him and trust him, rely on him, rest in him, we not only can have peace, but he will have his will in our lives because we submit, we trust, and obey. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. A lot in that verse. Rest in the Lord. Rest in him. Trust him. Wait patiently for him and fret not. If God can, and he can, we should not have to worry one bit. And we don't. We don't have to wonder because we know God can. We don't have to worry because we know God is. We don't have to wander with an A, W-A, around looking for something else, somebody else, some other strength, some other power, some other way, because we got the right way. God's way is the right way, the only way. We don't have to find anything else or seek for anything else. We don't have to wonder, W-O. We don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder, W-A. We don't have to work. We don't have to work hard. We've got to do it, got to do it, got to do it, do it, do it, got to do it. Gideon, do you remember the story? I hadn't even got to the good part, and I'm not going to. Don't get nervous. 135,000 Midianites. That makes me want to hide under the pulpit. And 32,000 on Gideon's side, which God whittled down to 300. I'll tell you what, when that 300 won victory over the 135,000, nobody said, look what we did. But they did say, look what God did. And see, that's what God does. He works in a way where we have to say, look what he did. That wasn't me. And that's why we don't have to work. Moses obeyed God and held up a stick, and the Red Sea parted. Moses obeyed God and stuck the stick in the water, and it turned to blood. David obeyed God and flung a rock and killed a giant. I mean, it's not our work, it's our obedience, our trust, our faith. Our part is to yield, submit. Our part is to trust, believe. Our part is to obey. And then in the obeying, we have to trust and believe in order for him to work through us. It is his part to work. And he can, and he will, listen to me, and he is. In this world, in this country, in your mess, he is working. It is not time to be worried or troubled or fretful. It's not time for fear. It's not time for running. It's not time for hiding in the dens and the mountains and the cliffs while the enemy whoops up on us. It's time to trust. It's time to walk. I thought this afternoon I may preach it again. I preached a message one time about a holding position. You get up there flying around an airport and there's some reason you can't land right then. They put you in a holding position. Flying around, flying around, flying around, flying around. You're moving, but you're making no progress. And I'll tell you what, I believe that's today's church. We're moving, we're going through the motions, we're having our services, we're singing our song, preaching our messages, but I don't think we're accomplishing much. And it's about time to get out of the holding position and get back to work for God and serve him, even to this day. Well, I'm done. Let's stand together.